Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sports Ethos NBA Defense Today podcast. It's your boy Ramiz, and I'm joined here with Kenny. We'll be discussing the Friday slate, of course, of 10 games. Unfortunately, I was sick for the past 2 weeks, so Kenny was going solo. I was hit by the sore throat and dry cough, but fortunately, I am better. So hopefully we can pull this through. But Kenny, tell me how you feeling. How you feeling about this slate?
Oh, man. You know, I kind of find it funny that Oklahoma City ended up winning by almost 70 points since 2 years ago. They was on the opposite end of that trend, you know. They wasn't the biggest fans of it. But outside of that, I doubt we're going to have any 70-point blowout on this slate, even though some of these matchups look a little questionable in the competitiveness level. But I don't know. Should be a fun little slate. How about yourself, man? Been a while. How's New Year treating you?
Still been chilling. Of course, I'm still like coughing occasionally here and there. So hopefully it doesn't get too bad in this pod. But other than that, I'm ready. I think I'm turning off at Bet365. Not a lot of the scores are up in terms of the over-unders. But we do got a couple of notes I can tell you. I mean, Indiana Hawks, Pacers and Hawks is estimated by Bet365 to be over and under around 254. So that might be the higher scoring game. And then Kings and Sixers is 240.5. The other two are kind of in the midsection. But we'll get to that. Starting off with injuries. Oh, by the way, I do have to mention that DraftKings, for some reason, has the 10 games separated by 8 games and then the 2 after 10. It's strange. But don't worry, me and Kenny, we're here to help you out on that. So starting off with the 8-game slate. Injury news, Joel Embiid out, Halliburton out. Trae Young is probable to play tomorrow. LaMelo might be returning tomorrow against the Spurs. Cade Cunningham is out too. Franz Wagner is out. Tyler Herro, Jimmy Butler, both questionable for the Miami Heat. Rudy Gobert, Bogdan Bogdanovic, questionable. DeAndre Ayton, Hayward, of course, Marcus Smart, all out. And Mark Williams, Quinn Capella is questionable. Zach Collins, Tari Eason out. Caleb Martin is questionable too. And you got Malcolm Brogdon out, DeAndre Hunter out. And I think those are the main ones. Unless you think Santi Aldama is the guy as well, he's out as well. But yep, let's jump straight into it. As usual, can you lead us with point guards? Who you got?
Man, let's see. With point guards, there's a lot of questionable tags, so... Mm-hmm. To make it safe, you know, we're going to start it off with a team who's, you know, they didn't look too well tonight. And I'm going to spend up on Anthony Edwards. I do feel like Portland will be a little bit more competitive in this game, even though, you know, it's the best team in the West versus one of the worst. I really do feel like after a 70-point loss, you're going to be more than motivated to at least, you know, lose by 15 the next game. So I do feel like we're going to get 35 to 40 minutes of Anthony Edwards in this matchup that does favor him. Portland is known to give up threes, and somebody who takes a lot of threes but don't always connect on them in Edwards, that should be a nice little matchup for him to hit on 4 or 5. So when it comes to props, definitely going to be looking at his props as well. And for 8-9, that's a potential 50 DraftKings point night out of Anthony Edwards. Going for my little mid-tier pick, I'm actually going to go right back to this game and go with the number 2 pick in the draft, Scoot Henderson. Number 3 pick. Should have been the number 2 pick. Number 3 pick in the draft, Scoot Henderson. Again, off of a 70-point loss just about. I really do feel like he will get a little bit more run, especially if Brogdon is out again. So with a combination of him and Simons that you probably will see a lot of people fading, I do feel like that would be a good GPP play for 6-3 in a game I do feel will be competitive. And even though he's been turnover prone, he's showed flash of greatness against some pretty competitive teams in the West throughout this month. Most notably against the Suns. I think he almost had a double-double. Then going with my cheapy pick. This one is a little hard since I'm choosing somebody from the Pistons. If right when I said that, you know it's a GPP pick. So as long as you hear the word Pistons, you know it's a GPP pick. And this is actually going up against a team that's actually defended three-pointer pretty well. And this is somebody who's mainly been trustworthy when his three-point shot's been falling. And that's Marcus Azir out of Houston. I really do feel like he's going to be somebody who's less than 1% owned at 4K, even though this is an 8-game slate that will get you a little bit different. And he does have a potential of giving you 20 minutes. The upside isn't too big. It's going to be more about maybe 12 actual points, 4 to 6 assists, a rebound or two. Don't really get you too many stocks. So you're looking at an upside of maybe about 22, 26 DraftKings points. But on an 8-game slate, it helps you get a little bit different and save you a little bit salary and allow you to not go with the chalky under 4K players on this slate. How about yourself? How are you attacking the point guard position?
I'm starting off pretty strong. I'm going with Tyrese Maxey. I think he's going to have a lot of ownership, but I think it's well-deserved. I mean, he had an amazing night against what team did he play last time? It was the Hawks. Yes, the Hawks. And he did pretty well, of course, attacking their backcourt. I was a bit questionable in terms of maybe Onyeka Okongwu or DeJounte Murray would give him troubles in terms of the perimeter and paint, but he still ended up getting his numbers. And, of course, 9,300 is expensive, but I think against the Sacramento Kings, I could see him just honestly doing the same thing. Of course, they don't really have any of those lockdown defenders. I mean, sure, De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Herter, these guys are solid defenders, but I think in the pick and rolls, he's going to easily be able to attack Sabonis. And honestly, just continue having that free flow type game to him. Of course, they're also playing in Philly for this one, so he is probably going to be much more comfortable. And so I really think he could be one of those higher upside picks where he can get maybe around 60 DK fantasy points up, plus, of course. And one of my favorite picks, mid-tier-wise, I'm going with simply, I guess, a guy who's going to have a lot more responsibility than Cole Anthony at 6,100. Of course, Franz Wagner is out, and a lot of eyes are going to be on him and Paolo, perhaps. And I'm going for Cole Anthony because I think his price is honestly pretty good at that area. And their opponent is Miami, so it might not be a high-scoring game. But Cole Anthony has shown, I think there's 3 games where Franz Wagner hadn't played this season, and he has had a couple of good games, I want to say, when he was injured. Of course, usage goes up, shots more attempted. So all around, a really good pick. And then in terms of budget-wise, I think you already mentioned him, Marcus Sasser. I don't really know how to pronounce his name, but I mean, you mentioned everything about him, right? If he gets a good amount of minutes, hits his shots, you'll have a pretty solid night. In terms of upside, like you said, don't expect too much. I mean, I know in the past he had like a couple 30-plus DK fantasy point games, and honestly, that's the dream if you're going for Marcus Sasser. But overall, maybe expect something like 20, 22, along the lines of that, and you'd be pretty good. But I also got one of my favorite picks in this whole slate, and that's Jacob Gilliard at 3,000 for the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, Marcus Smart, no Ja Morant, both are injured, and Derrick Rose is questionable, so he might return, he might not. But if he doesn't play, that's even better, because I think Jacob Gilliard at 3,000, I mean, is as cheap as it gets. If he can have some type of production, I think you're getting your money's worth. And honestly, why not go for him, especially if you want to go for these Anthony Edwards or the Maxis of the world. Jacob Gilliard at 3,000 is a pretty good option. I'm going to take the lead on shooting guards, and I'm going to cheat a bit because this guy has dual eligibility to play point guard and shooting guard, and that's Steph Curry at 9,000 for my higher tier guy. Honestly, he has had a rough patch, I want to say. Of course, you've seen the memes of him just being depressed on the bench. But Chicago isn't a team where I could see him kind of have one of those games just to kind of get back into form. I mean, say what you want about Curry, but he is one of those guys who, if you let him get hot, he will have one of those nights. And against Chicago, Caruso is probably the only defender, but you know Golden State will be getting away with the legal screen, so he'll probably get around him and do his thing. So I really like that pick at 9,000. I think that's probably among the cheapest price he's been, unless he drops down to 8,000 after having another bad performance. But I think overall at 9,000, I think Steph Curry would be pretty solid against the Chicago team. Mid-tier wise, I got a couple mid-tier picks, Malik Monk at 6,200 and Bruce Brown at 5,600. Starting off with Malik Monk, he's just a player who has been kind of getting back into his rhythm. He's gotten like back to back 35 DK fantasy point games. And against this Philly team, I think he may be able to do the same thing. De'Aaron Fox has been on this like rough patch, I want to say, where he hasn't been kind of gutting his numbers as he was in the beginning of the season. And Monk has stepped up in that case. Kevin Herter has been a no-show almost continuously this season. And therefore, Monk has been one bright spot, I guess I want to say, in terms of the guards. And hopefully he brings that once again against Philly. Bruce Brown, a guy I went for on the Wednesday slate, and man, he had like a 40 DK fantasy point night, and he's still only priced at 5,600. Especially against his team against Atlanta. I mean, like I said, Bet365 predicts this game to be a high scoring one. And well, Bruce Brown, I mean, is a player who not only gets a lot more shots when Tyrese is out, he's also getting a lot more assists, a lot more playmaking duties. And that was the case in the game against the one that they had recently. And I think he'll be the same thing again against the Hawks. And then budget wise, I decided to go with Amen Thompson. This is a pick where I might be projecting a bit because, and this is the case if Detroit gets gets slapped early on, I think Amen Thompson has a great chance to have a whole lot of minutes to just have a solid night. He's only priced at 3,600, so another budget pick. And if that's the case, I think if he gets some good run in, if Houston gets an early huge lead, I think Amen Thompson has a good opportunity to explode. What about you, Kenny?
Okay, man, a little brother versus brother action. Two brothers who also that getting too many minutes because they're despised by their head coaches. I like that. I'm not sure if Gilliard got called up from the Memphis Hustle yet, so he may or may not play. I don't think he got called up. I think
they have no point guards.
They don't. But the last call up they had was Drake. Man, what's that dude's last name? LaRiva.
Oh, Jake LaRiva.
Yeah, they called him up yesterday. They didn't call up Gilliard. But I don't think Gilliard played in the G League today. So he might be on the roster, but I didn't hear any news about that yet. But speaking of Memphis, I'm going to go with somebody whose rebound rates no longer mean anything. Grabbing almost 10 rebounds in the game. And that's Desmond Bane. The new walking Dennis Rodman with a 3-point shot. I don't understand how Desmond Bane be getting some of these ridiculous stats. One night he gets you 13 assists, even though his assist rate is less than 20%. Then two nights later he gets you 10 rebounds, even though his under 4 rebounds was one of my favorite plays for the season. I don't know what's he gonna give you. I know he's playing against the Clippers. Typically, he don't shoot too well against the Clippers. So if he has an under 3.5 prop, normally I would play it against the Clippers. But right now, I really don't see any reason why he won't get you a 20-10-10 game the way he's been giving you these incredible performances, single-handedly coming back against Dallas and beating down while playing 42 minutes. He's been pretty amazing lately, so I'm going to stand up 9-1, even though he's going to be chalky on Bane. Going mid-tier, again, this is going to be GPP play only. Keyword, GPP play only. I'm not going to play him with Marcus. It's going to be one or the other. And I'm going to pick up Jaden Ivey. He's been getting 30 minutes in the past 4 games. Another player who coach, really not the biggest fan of him, but he's been getting more consistent minutes. His role and usage been increasing since the month of January. And going against Houston, I really do feel like this game's going to go a little bit higher than the point total is going to be for it. And if it stays competitive, I really do see that this is a potential chance for him to get you 20 actual points. And like Desmond Bane, he will get you a couple rebounds, a couple of assists, and a couple of stocks as well. Main problem with him is, will his coach keep him in? So far, he was, so he should be a little bit safe, but I still see that more of a GPP play. And going cheap, again, GPP play. This team is shorthanded. I feel like Desmond Bane might be playing point guard and center, but I'm gonna spend 4-8 on Luke Kennard. His shot goes sometimes. He's playing against his former team. Running, he's gonna be on the floor at the same time with Terrence Mann. And if you knew anything about the Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard connection, you knew that used to be special when they came off the bench during our little Doc Rivers era. And I really do see feel like this is a game he could potentially connect on for such three-pointers if he gets you about 30 minutes in the game. So that's going to be probably not the biggest upside outside of getting 25 actual points out of him as the brightest upside. But I really don't see that happen in this game. He should get you about 15 to 21 points.
Sounds good. Before we head into small forwards, I do want to mention the NBA Fantasy Pass. This is a pass where you can get for $6 per month. You get daily streams, recaps of the top lines every day, and you get Discord access to the pros, amazing package to win you some big money. You can also get the All-Sport package instead, which is $8, which includes not only NBA, but includes NFL and MLB, and this includes everything as I mentioned beforehand, and literally probably one of the best packages out there in terms of winning a whole lot of cash. But starting off with small forwards, I'll continuously take the lead. Honestly, I didn't really like the upper tier in terms of small forwards. So if I was to go for a high tier guy, I guess it's high and mid tier area, which is 7,200 for Tobias Harris. He had a great night against, I believe it was the, why do I keep on forgetting it? It's the Hawks. Yeah, he had a great game against the Hawks. And I think the same will happen against the Kings. Similar to what I said about Maxey, the Kings aren't really a defensive team, and I think he could really have a pretty solid attacking game. But also what really impressed me is that he had like 24 shot attempts against the Hawks. So of course, if he could have that same type of shot production, I think you'll still be expected him to have some type of impact on the game. And don't forget to mention that he had 10 rebounds and like 4 assists. So all around a great stat line game. Of course, if you get that type of game, that'd be amazing. But if you still get like around 40 defensive points, 45, I think that's still solid from what Tobias Harris. Mid-tier wise, I guess it's a lower mid-tier. I decided to go for Buddy Hield, another Pacer at 5,400. He's been one of those players who I'm taking a chance on, simply on the fact that he has been struggling for a good minute, I think. Only like averaging like 16 defensive points in his past 6 games. But of course, he's been getting more opportunity, especially in that last game against Washington. He was 0 for 5, 0 for 3 from 3. So I think he's much, much better than that. And I think 5,400 is pretty cheap to go for him. Like I said, it's a risky pick, but I think it's one of those picks where, like, if you go for him, you might be able to win big DK fantasy points from him. And hence why I would kind of have him in a couple of slates in terms of building him. And then my cheapy pick, similar to what I said about Amen Thompson, I'm going with Cam Whitmore at 4,300, the two rookies. Cam Whitmore, actually, even if the game is a blowout, even if the game is close, I think he's going to be included in the rotation at the very least. He actually outplayed Jason Tate, I'm going to say, in that last game against the Bulls. And I think he is just overall a solid player. I mean, becoming a solid player. Of course, he can have these strides where he just does mess up. But with no Dylan Brooks, with no... But no Dylan Brooks and no, who am I missing? Oh yeah, Jason Tate struggling and no Dylan Brooks. I think he have another solid night, and I think at 4,300, it's a good pick that you can go for and have like pretty less risk towards.
Right. I think the person he was trying to remember was Tari Eason.
Tari Eason, thank you. I'm like, I knew I was forgetting someone.
Yeah, no, it's all good. For small forward, I'm going to keep it simple with the spend up. Going to go with PG at A2. This is going to be a game where he will get you anywhere from 8 to 12 three-pointer attempts. And if he connects on those and connects on those early, he should get you 25 actual points. Couple of assists. Won't get you too many rebounds. And a couple stocks. So for 8-2, you can use that as either a cash or a GPP play. Going with my mid-tier, it's not going to be that much of a price drop. I'm going to go with somebody who's going to be trying out for his new team, possibly. And that's Zach LaVine for 7-4, playing against Golden State. Almost had a triple double in the last game he played. I think he actually had what, four steals as well. Almost triple double and four steals. He's going to be playing against the Warriors team, who's been dysfunctional as best, and looking for possible new landing spots for Jonathan Kuminga. So I feel like LaVine will probably have a nice little game. And for my cheapy play, I guess you could say, I was going to save him for power forward, but I'm going to run somebody else's power forward. So this is going to be more of a mid-tier than a low-tier play, but I just do two plays for this. He is power forward eligible, but I want to go somewhere else for power forward, and that's Vince Williams Jr. Mm-hmm. When, you know, the best rebounder in Memphis history that's been made isn't grabbing you 10 rebounds, Vince Williams actually will have the highest rebound rate on the floor, especially if, man, what's that dude's name? Biyombo don't get you too many minutes. So Vince Williams at 5'3", he's more of a, would I play him in a GPP? I would play him in a GPP. With all these players out, he could get you a couple shot attempts. It's really going to be more drives. He's probably only going to get you two or three three-pointer attempts during the game. That's not really his style, but for 5'3", you really can't do too bad with that. Sure to get you a floor of about 20 points if he get his minutes, don't get in foul trouble, with an upside of about 35 DK points. For the second play that I'm going to have, I'm actually going to go back to this Houston-Detroit game. Like I said, I'm going back to this game quite a bit. And that's another rookie. And that's Cam Whitmore. He's been getting a little bit more minutes throughout the month of January, and a lot of people saw what he was doing in the summer league before the season started, and he's a capable NBA player. That's the best way to put it. His shot's not always going to fall. It seemed like coaches letting him, you know, hunt for a shot in the past few games. He will get you about 7 3-pointers if he gets 12 minutes in the game, but if you give him 30 minutes in the game, he can get the green light and actually be what Jalen Green was supposed to be. So for 4-3, you got a potential player who can get you 30 actual points in the game. That's my little budget play for the small forward position.
Interesting fighting words towards Jalen Green, man. Hopefully he's not listening to the podcast. Well, going on to power forwards, my high tier pick, I'll probably go with Karl Anthony Towns at 8,200. He's had monster performances in these past week. Of course, one against the Boston Celtics, but of course they came short because, well, I guess Tatum and Brown had to go off against him. But now they're going to be going against the Portland Trail Blazers. I know you think they're going to be putting up a much more competitive game. Well, I sure hope so, because that means Towns will play almost a lot more minutes. But in general, I mean, I think big man wise, I think Portland are lacking. DeAndre Ayton, of course, is out, and Robert Williams has been out. So therefore, they've been starting Duo Brigitte, who has been getting some good minutes, some good stats. But a lot of them are just young guys and like guys who like aren't fully guaranteed contracts, I want to say. So I think Karl-Anthony Towns, if he is that guy, he should be really just beasting and having his way against his team. Honestly, like I said, the risk only comes down to is can Portland make this game competitive? Because if they do, you're expecting him to play a good chunk of minutes and play to his averages. But if the game ends up being a blowout quick because they got destroyed against this OKC team and they are playing on the back-to-back and in Minnesota, so the odds are not in their favor. But if they do make this game competitive, I think it'll be really great in terms of for Towns, especially because Gobert is questionable too. So if Gobert's out as well, you have Towns center minutes and just feasting on almost everyone else on that roster. And yep, 8,200, I think that's a pretty solid price. Expect some big upside. Mid-tier wise, I didn't really like a lot of the mid-tier guys, but if I was to go for one, I'd go for Keegan Murray at 6,300. Just a guy to say who's basically been in pretty good form. I mentioned De'Aaron Fox struggling, and Keegan Murray has been the guy who has stepped up. He's been really efficient. He's had like some pretty solid nights. Scored 32 in a couple of games ago. I want to say 20 in the last game. And hopefully he can do the same against this Philly team. Of course, no inside presence. And I think because, you know, this is based off past memories because, of course, Nick Nurse used to coach the Raptors. And Nick Nurse obviously tries to double team the star players usually. And without Embiid, he might go that route unless he trusts Paul Reed to guard Sabonis one-on-one. So I think if that's the case, I think Keegan Murray will get some open shots, get some easy feeds from Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox. And just kind of have a similar performance like his past two games. And then my cheapie, I'm going with Haywood Highsmith at 4,300. I just feel like this is a matchup that's going to be kind of grinded out. I don't think there'll be a lot of scoring against this Orlando team. And, of course, Paolo Banchero has been on a mission. Absolutely huge stat lines without Franz Wagner in play. And, therefore, I think Haywood Highsmith will have a part to play in terms of defense and just having a presence in the paints and this perimeter as well. And he's had some pretty solid stat lines already. I think I want to say the last game he had 30 DK fantasy points around that. And of course, against this Orlando team, where the Orlando is also really good defensively, so of course they're going to miss a missing Franz Wagner will affect them offensively, but defensively they still are holding tight. And I think therefore Haywood Highsmith might have a bit more of leeway of getting more minutes than perhaps Nikola Jovic, who is probably his competition. And if in the case that Caleb Martin, of course this is a pick that I want to mention is based off what we're the current state of Miami, because right now we don't know what their starting lineup is going to be, because Jimmy Butler is questionable, Tyler Herro is questionable, and Caleb Martin is questionable. Because if they're all healthy, then obviously that does limit Haywood Highsmith's minutes. But if they are injured, then I think he's really one of pick that you really want to go for in terms of that power forward area. What about you, Kenny?
Going with the power forward position, I'm going to spend up if he's playing on Jaren Jackson Jr., who just so happens to become Desmond Blaine as a three-point shooter when he plays against the Clippers. Last time connected on 5 of 6 three-pointers. Going with my mid-tier pick, it's going to be a duel of players who's probably going to be in a package against the team they're playing against, and that's Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins. It's really no secret those players are on the trade block, so they probably will be getting this showcase with a couple more minutes. Last time, I want to say against New Orleans, you know, Kuminga probably got you about 30 minutes, but he's been playing 24 to 32 minutes ever since what's his name? Chris Paul been out. Minutes been up. Plus, you know, complaining to the coach helps as well. But like I said, you might as well showcase your talents to Chicago. Have a good game over there. They might be able to get a trade done a little bit easier. Going for my cheapy play, this is strictly GPP only. Somebody who will get you minutes. Honestly, I couldn't really tell you what position he's playing on that team since for some other reason they got Miles Bridges as a center, but it's JT Thor going up against San Antonio. Usually I have no interest in him, but I do feel like in this spot he should get you about 25-30 minutes. And if he stays out of foul trouble, he has the potential to give you you know, maybe a 7 points, 5 rebounds, a couple blocks, possibly a steal. But the main important thing about him is he won't subtract points from your total. This dude has one of the lowest turnover rates for any player. Get at least 15 minutes in the game. So you're playing him just as GPP. His floor is probably as low as about, I don't know, 2 fantasy points. But it's still going to be about 24 fantasy points. So again, this is a GPP play for 3-4 and 8 game slate. That many people are going to go there. So it's going to help you get away from the chalky or cheap plays. on the slate with somebody who has the potential of getting 20 minutes. So,
yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think especially if LaMelo comes back, I think that will probably benefit JT Thor in getting some buckets and easy points. But before we get into centers, let me mention the DFS pass that you can get for $5 per month. With this package, you get DFS delivery, pick'ems daily, and also get Discord access. I think this one allows you to talk to me and Kenny if needs be. And of course, I mentioned one way of making money. This is simply another route of making good money. But let's move on to the center position. And Kenny, as usual, take the lead.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back to a game I've been mentioning quite a bit. A game I think is going to be a little bit more competitive than people are expecting. So my spin up at center is going to be 8-4 with Mr. Shingun, who's, I mean, honestly, is he the face of the Rockets now? Is that safe to say?
I think so.
I know you kind of, you know, was disappointed on my gender greed comments, so I just want confirmation.
No, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the face of the Rockets at 8-4 against this matchup against the Pistons. And this is also going to tie into my mid-tier play. I'm also going to run one lineup with the double center lineup with him and Jalen Duren as well. Those are both two bigs where if they get the minutes, stay out of foul trouble, they have a potential of not only getting you a double-double, but also giving you blocks and steals as well. With Shingun, you're looking more of upside up to about 60 points. With Duren, you're looking more of upside up to 40 points. So anytime you could just get two players who both cost less than, what's the best example? Luka, when he was costing, what, 13K? it's always worth a chance to run. Then going with my cheap play, I don't really have a true cheap play. Am I going to go this route? I'm going to go Chalk. I really hate doing this. I'm going to go Chalk. I'm going to run Paul Reed at 5-5 as my little cheap play. I know it's Chalk. This is a cash gameplay only. But just remember, Paul Reed's a little handsy. Can't get his foul trouble. There's been a couple games where it was like, man, this dude is in an incredible spot. What was it? Couple nights ago. Wanted to say it was against Chicago. It's like, man, this dude can rebound, get offensive rebound, get putbacks. Man, he's in a great spot. I don't even think he broke 20 minutes. So he's playing against Sacramento. There's potential for him to get a little handsy, since, you know, you got a walking triple-double playing against him who does like to get a foul trouble. But if he stays out of foul trouble, that's a potential double-double spot for him. In cash games, I feel like that's somebody you would need to have if he gets you 25 to 30 DK points on this slate, since he's going to be highly owned. And if he actually hit his upside of 40, possibly 50 drafting points, you won't be able to cash out of it in cash game. But GPP, I would totally fade him.
Interesting pickups. I think Jalen Durant is also a really good pick. I didn't go for it, but I think especially because his competition is literally really, really bad. Of course, James Wiseman and Marvin Bagley III, so he does get a lot of minutes. And I think it's going to be an exciting matchup. Might be one of the bright spots. But I decided to go with a different route. For my higher tier player, I went with Wemby at 9,100. Wemby has just been on really great form. He's been averaging like 26 minutes, I want to say, 23 to 24 minutes in the past three games. And has been averaging 50 DK fantasy points. And it might be the fact that they got a point guard in the starting lineup finally. I mean, Trey Jones has finally been starting. He's been assisting him, clearly. And Wemby has just been doing his thing. I mean, that last game, he only played 21 minutes and got 50 DK fantasy points. So I'm hoping against Charlotte, they don't have centers available, I think. I mean, they have Nick Richards, but of course, Wemby's taller than almost every center in the league. But the Charlotte team isn't great defensively, and of course, it could be bad if Charlotte loses badly or Spurs just loses game. But if it is close game, which I'm hoping, because like I mentioned, he's only played around 23, 24 minutes. He's getting 50 DK fantasy points. If he can have one of those games where it's close and his involvement is really high, then hopefully he'll even be higher than that. Because even in some of these games, like last game against Detroit, where he had 50 defensive points in 21 minutes, he was shot 38% from the field, 0% from the three, but was able to get 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and 60 points, a triple-double with no blocks and steals. So that's pretty strange, because he usually racks up 4 to 5 blocks and is much more, I'd say, aggressive in terms of shooting. But he wasn't he was inefficient, didn't get any stocks at all, and was still getting 50 defensive points. So I'm hoping he can have a similar performance to his past few games, because he's been on a hot streak. Mid-tier wise, I guess his lower end mid-tier, and that's Xavier Tillman, 5,200. Simply just a player who's had a great game. Last one, I think Biyombo is waived now. Therefore, they are going to be relying on him more. Don't know what the situation of the Grizzlies is going to look like against this Clippers team, but I will say Zubac has been on fire. He's been a beast. He destroyed my Raptors, of course, by getting easy rebounds continuously. And I think they're going to need a big body in the paint, and I think Xavier Tillman might be that guy, because Jaren Jackson Jr. Will probably be occupied with another one of the players. So Xavier Tillman at 5,200 is a pretty safe pick. I want to say nothing, can't expect too much, but if he does have a great night, I think he'll expect something around 30 DK fantasy points. And then my cheapie, originally I was going to go with Kenneth Lofton Jr. And I was excited to tell you this pick because you know, it was a bold pick, but he's out. So I had to change my pick, and I went with Kevon Looney at 3,700. Simply a pick where he hasn't been good at all, Kevon Looney. But against this matchup, maybe he's more suited to guard someone like a Vucevic. And hopefully he can have one of the stat lines where he can occasionally have, which is like 8 points, like 5 assists, like 4 rebounds, something like that. And just get into like 15 DK fantasy point range. Because at 3,700, don't expect his ceiling to be high, but I think his floor could be pretty solid at that price range. I think that wraps about this slate. But like I mentioned, we do have to talk about that two games that are on a separate slate for some reason. So honestly, from this slate, just pick your players, your favorite players from these two teams.
You want to start it off? I'll pick a quick five. Bones died on, so hopefully I get there. So point guard position, I should say this two games. We got Toronto, Utah. We got New Orleans and Denver. Point guard position, if Siakam's out, don't know if he's going to play or not. I'm going to go with the chalk, go with Scottie Barnes. Hopefully they start calling fouls for him. Seems like it worked out against my Clippers. But, you know, new team, different day, going up against Utah. If he's able to attack the rim the way he usually does and get to the line, he will be a nice little pickup, and he should be able to have an upside of about 55 to 60 DraftKings points. Going with the two guard position, this one is more of a flip of a coin. It's going to be a mid-tier play, either Clarkson or Sexton, whichever route you want to go. They're both been getting pretty much similar minutes, production, but Clarkson's still getting the nod on the minutes. So whichever route you want to go, that's yours to pick. Both should be safe. Floor is pretty safe for both of them as well. Sexton and Clarkson are both point dependent, so if their shots not falling, you won't get the best production out of them. With the small forward position, I'm actually going to go cheap here. You never know what type of team you get when you're playing New Orleans. So I'm hoping we get the worst version of New Orleans, which will give us a little bit more minutes from Dyson Daniels at 4K. If you want to go even cheaper and the game plays out of favor, you could go with either Christian Braun on the Denver side, since he should get an uptick in minutes as well. At the power forward position, this is going to be a potential spend-up position. Even if he is playing, I'm still like Scottie Barnes. But Pascal Siakam against Utah will probably be my spend-up at the power forward position if he's playing. I would pair him with Scottie Barnes. If he don't get the go, I will go with Herb Jones. He has the potential to get in foul trouble because he is handsy. But if he actually does play, stay out of foul trouble, he will play the most minutes out of the starters in that unit if the game becomes a blowout. Going with the center position, you can't go wrong with going with Mr. Jokic himself. If you feel like this matchup will be competitive, he should be able to get you a triple-double in this spot. If you feel like it will be a blowout, I will honestly go with Michael Porter's brother, who's just been getting the green light for some odd reason. I don't know what happened, but Chris Brochure, I don't know what you did, but you get him. Young is getting minutes over him, and Michael Porter Jr. brother is getting minutes over him. The last time I heard of Michael Porter Jr. brother was when I forgot something happened when he was on the. Was he what school was he going to? I think he actually went to Colorado.
I think it was the same school.
Wait, what?
Wasn't it the same school as Michael Porter Jr.?
I don't know. I thought it was Colorado. I know something happened. I would need to look it up. I forgot. I just remember something happened, and it was like kind of a big deal. I think he was kind of in like some type of legal trouble or something. But all I know is he's doing better now. He's getting NBA minutes in a rotation on a team, and I'm actually talking about him in DFS as a pickup for 3-5, and not 3K. That's all I got. How you running this?
So in terms of the guards position, the point guard, I like quickly at 7,000. I'm also taking into account that Siakam is playing. So quickly at 7,000, I think he's been on fire. He's also been around averaging around 40 DK fantasy points. So 7,000 is a price I kind of do like. In terms of like a alternative option for a point guard budget wise, Alvarado at 3,800. Solid guy, can expect around 20 DK fantasy points, and it just allows you to go for higher tier players. Shooting guard, I liked RJ at 6,600. I like Clarkson at 6,300. He's been solid. I think we all know his upside is much higher than that price tag says so. And of course, in the past game with the Raptors, he had an amazing night. I could expect the same thing, especially in Utah. But alternatively, RJ 6,600 was one of my picks. Playing efficient basketball, and I know it's strange to hear that, to hear those two words in the same sentence. But yeah, he's been hitting like 50% from threes. He's just been really efficient and just attacking the ball. And I think he may be able to do the same thing against these the guards on Utah because they are smaller. And he has been playing shooting guard more so than the small forward like he was playing with the Knicks. Small forward wise, I went with Lauri Markkanen at 8,300. Another player who had a monster night against the Raptors last time they played, and he's been playing pretty solid basketball. I mean, all of Utah has, I want to say. They've been winning some pretty good games. I think they won against the Nuggets, too, last time. Actually destroyed them, if I'm not mistaken. So Markkanen at 8,300 at the small forward spot. Power forward, I'm going with the guy that you mentioned, Siakam at 8,000. Another guy who can go for upwards of 50 DK fantasy points on a good night, and especially against Utah, coming off a game where he missed against the Clippers, he might be more energetic in terms of having a solid night. In terms of the backup forward, I had Zion at 7,700. This is a pick who is a bit intriguing, but I think another upside pick, I guess, because Zion does have the tendency to have one of those nights, and I think against the Nuggets, he hopefully could get back into his bag because Jokic and Aaron Gordon Aaron Gordon is a great defender, but none of them are really rim protectors, I want to say, so he should be able to still attack the paint and kind of get free throws. And then the center matchup, I'm going with Walker Kessler at 4,800 because I think the Raptors will go attack the paint. I think he would be really annoying. I mean, Zubac was a really annoying player from the Clippers when he faced the Raptors, and I think Walker Kessler would do the same thing because, of course, Jacopoto being out is a huge blow. He's basically their only like solid, tall center, I want to say. And then backup, I mean, you mentioned him, Jontae Porter at 3,500. He has the green light. He's been, I guess every Porter Jr. has the green light. So Jontae Porter at 3,500, solid player. He's been, like you said, outplaying Boucher. Thad Young's been outplaying Boucher. So basically, I mean, at 3,500, pretty cheap, and you know he's gonna get a good amount of minutes because he's kind of been doing exactly what the coach wants. So, $3,500, pretty cheap pick to go for. But I think that about wraps it up. This was obviously a long pod, but DraftKings changing up the rules is affecting our pods. You can't blame us. But if you do want to hit us up on, you can hit me up on Twitter at TooNice. That's spelled TO0_Nice_. And Kenny, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me talking about all levels of basketball at OrangeDFS. We got EuroLeague going on, Women's College Basketball, NBL, playoffs coming up soon. So always down to talk.
All right, for sure. Hope you guys enjoyed. Once again, hopefully this is a long pod, but I'm telling you, you got to listen all the way through to win some big money. And hopefully you guys have a great night or a good morning. And win some big cash for us. Goodbye.